The Voices.Earth podcast series is brought to you by the .Earth domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing .Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices.Earth podcast interview, we are speaking with Chris McCarthy and Jessica Agnos of Astronomers for Planet Earth, which is a grassroots movement uniting astronomy students, educators, and scientists around the globe to share their astronomical perspective about the Earth and climate change with the public. And Chris and Jessica, how are you both doing today?
Great.
Doing fine.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us. It's really a pleasure to speak with you today. What an amazing organization you all have. We've never really interviewed a .Earth user that's doing exactly what you're doing. There's certainly a lot of organizations focused on climate change and helping Earth, but not necessarily from the astronomer community. So that is really cool. So with that, if you don't mind, give us a top-level perspective on what Astronomers for Planet Earth is all about, your mission, history, and all that good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I guess the reason you haven't heard of such an organization is there hasn't been one until just a few months ago. And this is a new organization. It was founded after two astronomers, one here at San Francisco State, Adrian Cool, and another astronomer at Yale, Deborah Fisher, came to the awareness that astronomers need to play a role in what's going on with the Earth. Not only do we have a responsibility, but we have a unique perspective to offer. And as people who are largely funded in by government, we have a responsibility to the people of our country and the people of Earth to do what we can to help with the crises that Earth is facing.
Outstanding. Jessica, anything else to add to that?
Yeah. And, you know, this really came about, as Chris said, a couple of months ago when San Francisco State was hosting a conference, an astronomical conference, Astronomical Society of the Pacific. And we felt compelled to start to speak about climate. And that began the conversation, which then led to this organizing of various astronomers. And within the past couple of months, we've had an enormous positive reception, I would say, through the astronomical community, because everyone has, I think, been feeling this response. Well, not everyone, but several people have been feeling this responsibility. And there's an excitement about being involved and finally having a focus to be able to start speaking on this.
That's great. That certainly leads in very well into my next question. So, you know, astronomers, certainly a specialized group of people. I myself, personally, I'm not an astronomer, but I read everything that I can and try to educate myself as much as possible, because I truly think you all are the smartest people on the planet and you're figuring out the universe. I think it's amazing. And I just realized what little I know about the universe and the world around me. So from your perspective, why are astronomers like ideal for this grassroots movement?
I'll go with one.
Yeah.
When in some of the things you read, you may have seen articles about astronomers, some of them colleagues of mine, who have discovered planets orbiting other stars. And you may have read stories about people like Elon Musk wanting to colonize Mars. And these kinds of popular press articles have given some people the impression that if we mess up planet Earth, then we can maybe go to one of these other planets and start the human race going over there. But so as astronomers and space scientists, we have kind of helped to create that impression, but that's a false impression. That's totally wrong. We have enough information to tell you why that's wrong. We can't go to any other planet, and we've really got to make Earth work. So at the onset, we feel a responsibility for correcting that misconception and letting people know that the Earth is our only home. As this year's Nobel Prize winner in physics put, there's no planet B. So that's one of the starting reasons why we astronomers felt obligated to participate in this way.
And also, if you think about Carl Sagan, for instance, in fact, we're coming up on the 30th anniversary of the image from Voyager 1 that inspired Pale Blue Dot. We look out into space. We see how vastly empty it is, how hostile it is. And here's Earth, which we've never seen anything like our planet. And so we have that perspective of Earth being this tiny little fragile thing in the vastness of space. And there's a sense of urgency that we want to convey to really protect it and to protect ourselves along with it. You know, this is self-preservation in a way. Like, there's no place like Earth and we evolved to live here. Everything else is quite hostile to us as a species. So it's important to convey that. And space, there's nothing like space to really hammer that point home.
Oh, totally. And I think you hit the nail on the head, because a lot of the stuff that I've been reading that's out there is just how far away even the nearest star is, or how far away some of these stars with actual planets. I mean, you need a time machine. You need to travel at the speed of light to be able to get there, which is impossible. So that's what blows my mind, really, about astronomy, is that just how tiny our planet is and how small we are and just how vast it is out there. It's pretty amazing. I just wanted to drop that in there as a little message from an armchair fan of astronomy. And speaking of resources, which I will surely read, I understand you all offer a number of educational resources about climate change for astronomers. Tell us more about that.
Well, we have a website, which is what started this conversation, astronomersforplanet.earth. And we do have a resources tab on there. So it's for educators, astronomy educators, science communicators, or basically anyone who's interested to look on the material or look at the links that we've put online to help them, whether it's to educate yourself or as an educator to educate your classroom as well.
Outstanding. Outstanding. That's great. Chris, anything else to add to that?
Yes. If people want to join Astronomers for Planet Earth, they can go one step further. In addition to the online materials that you can see on our website, we have another service on groups.io. And this is constantly being updated. There's conversations going on there. People are posting material there, sharing it, discussing it. So our members are all welcome to access that material and the conversations on groups.io. An assortment of the material found on that site is transferred onto our website and is made available to the general public. But anyone's welcome to join, whether you're a professional astronomer, an amateur astronomer, or it could be a science educator, school teacher, or someone like yourself who's just interested in stories about science and space that you read.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent.
We awesome. Also do have social media as well that we're trying to fire up more. But like I said, the groups.io are for members of Astronomers for Planet Earth. And so for the general public to engage, we put a lot of the materials that we post, groups.io, on our website, as well as social media as well. So we would love for our people to engage that way also if they're interested.
Outstanding. That's great. And that's a perfect segue, actually. So your website is astronomersforplanet.earth. You all use a .earth domain. Tell us about why you choose .earth.
Well, I think I helped to inspire that choice. I was teaching an introductory astronomy class, and I was looking around for, as part of that class, I teach about global warming. I teach about what we call the habitability of planets, including the habitability of the Earth, and how Earth sustains life, and how if the atmosphere changes too much, Earth won't sustain life. So I was trying to look around for information on levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and I stumbled upon an excellent website called CO2.earth. And then actually, I think it was some other domain before, and then it got moved to a .earth domain. That's when I first found out about the top-level domain .earth. And so that resource is still available, CO2.earth. And then when we started forming our organization, I think we talked about astronomersforplanetearth.org or some other possibilities. And then I realized, well, if the end of our name is Earth, why not use that as part of a domain name also? And it conveys this idea that the .earth domain, I think, was set up to convey, which is that, you know, the focus of this group is a global focus. We're looking at solving problems from a planetary scale. So that's kind of how we chose it.
Just to piggyback on that, exactly as Chris said, this is a global issue. It's going to take a global effort to really come together. And just since we started this originally, we've even partnered with a European faction that found our website, .earth, and reached out to us. There are a bunch of European astronomers who feel the same exact way. And so now we're combining efforts across the globe. So it truly is a .earth organization. We're already operating, or I wouldn't say operating, but working with astronomers in, I believe, over 26 countries at the moment.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's great. Well, I appreciate those insights there. And that's really great that you found it from CO2.Earth. We're certainly familiar with that organization, that .Earth user. So we love hearing .Earth catch on out there in the community from other organizations. That's awesome.
And that's what happened.
So question, what does the future hold for you all with your mission? What's future plans?
We've got a few areas of focus that we're thinking about right now. And we're thinking, what can we do? What can we contribute? One thing is we have access to scientific research papers, and we teach, and so we have ways of communicating with the public. So one of the first things we've done, as we mentioned already, is to put resources online and make them available to other people who are educators. So that's one focus. Another focus that we're working on, and here our European colleagues, I think, are ahead of us on this, is thinking about how we as astronomy professionals can do a better job of protecting the Earth and reducing our carbon footprint, for example. So some of our European colleagues have already made graphics and tabulated information on how much CO2 they are producing in order to attend meetings. And they're also offering alternatives for going to meetings by train, for example. So we astronomers do a lot of travel. And so we're thinking about ways of reducing that. One of the things that we do a lot is go to observatories. In fact, I went to an observatory in Arizona this past weekend, but we can, under many circumstances, do our observing remotely. And so that's what one avenue that we're thinking about. So that's the, sort of the second focus would be, you know, trying to be better as our own in our own profession. Anyone can do that in whatever profession you have. And then the third thing is bringing about policy changes around the world that will reduce the CO2 concentration in Earth's atmosphere.
Excellent. Great. Jessica, anything else to add to that?
Yeah, growth, hopefully. We want to keep reaching out and keep pulling in new members and keep engaging. One thing that I'd like to note is many of our members are already involved in a lot of these endeavors. So this is a great pooling of resources, and we hope to continue to pool resources and ideas, continue to educate, spread the word, and exactly as Chris said, look at what we do as individuals and institutions and how we can create a positive effect and help mitigate our greenhouse gas emissions.
Outstanding. Now, I'm going to go off script because it's very rare I get to actually talk to actual astronomers. So I'm going to throw in a random nerd question here. So we've certainly identified stars out there that have planets that potentially could hold life. And I'm not going to ask the alien question, which I'm sure most people ask you at cocktail parties. But the question is more, when do you think our science will be at the point where we can fully understand what these planets have going on them? I mean, certainly not getting a Mars rover-like device out there to them, but when we can actually get a clearer picture of what is happening around these stars that are incredibly far away.
Yeah, that's a challenging question to assess the habitability of a planet that's orbiting another star many light years away. And the one question is, what are you even looking for? What are these so-called biomarkers that would indicate that life exists on a planet? Or how could you figure out whether there's oxygen on the planet or so forth? Another challenge, once even if you think you know what you're looking for, another challenge is disentangling the light of the planet from the light of the star. Because at visible wavelengths, a planet is a billion times fainter than a star. So you've got to come up with a way of shielding or blocking out the light of the star, just concentrating then on the light of the planet, and then analyzing that with great precision. So in the next few years, the James Webb Space Telescope should be making some observations that will take us down that path. But really, to address the question in the way you suggested, will require a more advanced telescope or a specialized instrument. The James Webb has many different purposes, not just looking at planets. So we'll need a specialized instrument. For years, NASA had conceived such an instrument that was called the Terrestrial Planet Finder, and some preliminary work was done in that direction, but that mission was shelved. So yeah, I think we're decades away, if at least a decade away, from getting the kind of information that it sounds like you want.
Yeah. That's amazing. You know, in the scale of time, the grand scheme of things, that's not that far off, realistically. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. 10 years goes by pretty quickly for most of us. That's pretty amazing. That's awesome. Well, thank you for letting me go off script with my nerd question there. And before we sign off today, is there anything else to add about astronomers for planet Earth?
Yeah, I have something. So the main thing that I think our mission really wants to convey as well is, you know, science should transcend politics. We're a group of people that come from many different backgrounds, different nations, different belief systems, and we don't all agree on every little thing. But as scientists, we learn to collaborate to solve problems. And focusing on a goal helps us move past our differences to achieve that goal. You can look at the ISS as a great example of that. You know, 16 nations came together to work on the International Space Station, and it's one of the greatest feats in human history. So longevity should be our goal as humans. And I don't understand, or, you know, it's hard to understand why being smarter and more efficient in our consumption is political. So things change constantly. And those who survive are those who adapt. And it's time for us to adapt, which means that we can't keep doing the same thing as we've been doing. And again, that should transcend all politics. That should be a human goal. And I hope that we can start seeing things that way on a broader scale.
That's awesome. I love it. Chris, anything else to add before we sign off?
No, I think Jessica hit the nail on the head. So yeah. I got nothing to add.
Yeah, that was awesome. Excellent. Well, for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast interview with Chris McCarthy and Jessica Agnos of Astronomers for Planet Earth, which, as we mentioned, is a grassroots movement uniting astronomy students, educators, and scientists around the globe to share their astronomical perspective about the Earth and climate change with the public. And Chris and Jessica, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to this segment. .Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own .Earth domain name through all major registrars.